the Kia Rio?
I think it might be iconic for some.
She's going to use the word iconic.
So the problem with that is it's like it's there's a mass produced car.
Exactly, yeah.
There wasn't very rare colors or some very rare models, you know, that type of thing. It didn't stand out from the crowd in terms of performance.
Lots of
exactly. So yeah, no.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Auto Trader Podcast. My name is Wandile Lesishi, the Auto Trader brand and PR manager.
And I'm Reino Ferri, and I'm a motoring content producer.
Both of us had to think, like, what do you do?
what are we doing here?
What do we do in this room when we're inside this office?
Yeah.
Well, we got there. Anyways, today we got three different segments for you guys. The first segment is called Say What? In which basically, Reno, we're going to be dissecting if cars are really investments. So you did an article a while back about like these cars are worth this much and stuff. So I want to test your theory out a little bit. And also there's a new legendary F1 car that's on sale. So we'll talk about that. And then in the news, you recently were kind of like hanging out with the GWM crew. So I wanted to like kind of unpack what the new models are, as well as the new structure that they have. Because I think it was Lawrence, few weeks ago, kind of unpacked that. There's new brands, essentially, under the GWM sort of marquee. And then we'll wrap up the show with a new segment called Cars Made Easy. So, obviously, we got to ask Auto Trader, but sometimes, every now and then, people just ask me, like, hey, what does this mean? So, maybe we'll help them out.
Sounds good.
Let's jump right into it. So, off the cuff, in the news, do you think a car is an investment or can be an investment?
I think cars can be an investment.
Yeah.
I think there's quite a few examples out there.
Yeah, for sure.
Become an investment. But I do think it's like a 0.00 something percent of cars that's going to become an investment. What
does size of a car is like an investment though? Like in your opinion, like if somebody's buying a new car and they're like, oh, I think this potentially will be worth more in future. Like, how do you know?
Well, there's quite a few aspects that comes into play.
Yeah.
So obviously rarity. So if there's less of them, then it's...
In terms of like when they produce the initial numbers.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So rarity, definitely. Then there's like provenance. So what did the car do? Did it win a race perhaps? Did somebody famous own it, for instance? So there's that. Then there's originality. Like has the car's been maintained correctly and kept fully original over the years?
Like trading cards, basically.
100%. Yeah. And then there's like sort of market situations. Like, is this the last five cylinder? Is this the last V12 from Ferrari, for instance?
Yeah.
You know? So there's, is it, or it can even be a start of a new generation.
Okay.
So
this is the first iteration of a brand new model, for instance, where this will be like, you know.
Yeah,
probably going to be flagged.
It's going
like
to start off a whole new thing, like for Ferrari, the California T, and those type of things.
Like, what about the Prius? Does that count as a collector car?
I'm sure there's going to be a museum or two that might acquire one or two.
Yeah, maybe like that first one, like the first one that was ever made.
Yeah, but I think like a very first one ever made or very last one ever made. Yeah, the rest I think is just gonna
be a little bit of a struggle.
Yeah,
I love the Prius. Let me just put it out there. But like, I think it's an iconic car. I don't want anybody like fighting me. I don't want the Prius fans to be like, "Yo."
I think it. what I'll say is it changed the industry.
It did. It was revolutionary.
And
it
that's as much as I'll get.
So I don't know if you saw this, but there's a few cars. Every year, I guess cars get discontinued in terms of models and stuff.
Yes.
But I just saw the cars that are going to be discontinued this year, which kind of shocked me. So I think let's go through all of them, the ones I spotlighted at least, and then you tell me if, based off the things that you just spoke about, if they're going to be collector cars and why.
Okay,
let's start off with the Audi R8s. A lot of people don't actually know, but this is the last iteration of the R8s.
Definitely going to be a collector's car.
Yeah.
And the reason it being is obviously a lot of premium manufacturers are fully investing in electric future.
Yeah.
So that's the whole reason why the R8 is...
It's supposed to be like the opposite of exactly that, right?
Exactly. It's
V10.
Very loud.
Epitomizing what an internal combustion engine is, ultimately.
100%. Yeah. So the R8 V10, definitely going to be a collector's car because, people are going to be like, okay, that was the day Audi's combustion supercar came to an end.
Yeah, this is kind of the you know, the benchmark. Now it's like the e-tron, right, which is fully electric
100%
as a halo vehicle. So the RE is being discontinued, but I mean, the RE shares its engine with the Huracan.
Yes.
So do you think, I mean, we're also getting a new Huracan, so that's, I mean, that kind of answered that question.
Yeah.
But do you think Lamborghini's still gonna be making V10s alone? Like, what do you think the future is there, or do you even know what the future is there?
Not 100% certain, but that's one of the things that came up when people were talking about the R8 going down, like what's going to happen with Lamborghini. And I think what Lamborghini has also indicated is that they're also looking at hybrid platforms.
Yeah.
For the
they've already started with, like, I don't know, what was that car?
Cyan.
The Cyan, yeah. So that was their kind of hybrid test.
100%. So I think what we might get is some of the last little Audi V8s or so on. Mm-hmm. With a hybrid system to go forward before they've completely killed it, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. Okay, I got a few more for you. The Kia Rio. The Kia Rio.
I think it might be iconic for some.
Just going to use the word iconic.
So the problem with that is it's like it's a mass-produced car.
Exactly,
There wasn't very rare colors or very rare models, you know, that type of thing. It didn't stand out from the crowd in terms of performance. Exactly. So, yeah, no.
Then we got the Mercedes E-Class. A lot of people don't know this. I'm going to actually bucket these two together. Mercedes E-Class as well as the C-Class.
Yes.
So that one for me was a shocker. Okay. I mean, the C-Class has been one of the top-selling cars in SA. One of the most popular cars in SA.
Yeah.
So that, for me, was a shock.
We just need to clarify, not the C-Class, but the C-Class Coupe and Cabriolet.
And Cabriolet, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we must just be careful.
So it's not the C-Class. Not the C-Class. People are going to come and fight us.
Yeah. Like. But it's just the Coupe and Cabriolet.
Yeah.
What has happened is Mercedes has developed new product lines.
Okay.
Well, not new, but like brought back the SL brand name again.
Okay.
And now they brought in the new CLE Coupe and Cabriolet.
Okay. So there's kind of an overlap of segments,
Yeah. So those two model ranges are overlapping what the traditional C-Class Coupe and Cabriolet did for the brand.
So we're still going to have a C63. Like, obviously there's one that's coming up, but like this is not the last C63 we'll be getting.
Yeah.
And let's move on before you get in more trouble. Okay, I got two more for you. Mazda B2, BT50. One of the most sort of, at one point, one of the most popular buckies in South Africa.
I think it will still trade well on the used market.
Yeah.
Because of just how popular the car is.
Yeah.
But I don't think values are going to necessarily increase. However, I will say that buckies in South Africa in general,
I mean, we love
it. They hold value because everybody loves it. Everybody wants a bucky.
Yeah.
And so I don't see the prices dropping too much.
Yeah.
But I also don't see them appreciating.
Okay, 100%. And then last one is the Nissan MP200. I cried. I was like, no.
It's very sad to see that go, actually.
Yeah. If that goes, what else is good? Like, what else is on the market for people who are looking for, like, a.
So there's a Renault product coming. I think it's called an Auroch or something like that.
Okay. Yeah.
It's based on the Duster. And so they're going to bring.
A Duster with, like, a bin.
A bin. And it's going to be very utilitarian and all of that. And that's going to sort of slot in. Maybe slightly more expensive, but not too much. So a lot of manufacturers have been thinking about what would happen. There's products on the way.
Nothing. Specifically for like African markets.
Yes.
Right. So in South Africa,
100%.
Where this is a vehicle that's everywhere. Everybody who's like on a small business or medium business.
Exactly.
This is kind of your workhorse, yeah.
Yeah. So there's vehicles on the way, not here yet, that could actually fill that gap. But we have to keep in mind, you get like Picantos with a cargo themed back, so they take out the back seats and they put like
where is this I've never seen that. This is
so there's Hyundai and Kia used to make like these little cars. Chev back in the day used to make one as well, where they make these little cars that you can load up in Australia. But it's got a roof and railings on the inside and things like that.
Yeah, so it's a little more like industrialized.
So I think some of those might pick up on sales once the MP is
It's gone
completely. But yeah. Now I think the MP200 is definitely
such an iconic
little car.
Maybe not an investment, but it's just iconic.
But keep in mind how many 1400 champs you still see on
the road.
That's
true. That's true.
And that's what makes it iconic.
Yeah.
And if you now see there are people restoring those champs.
Yeah.
And they are slowly
becoming like
sort of almost collectible because people are feeling, heyday, I want to drive something I drove when I was a student or something like that.
100%. Before we end off the segment, so one car that is definitely an investment is somebody who needs no introduction, Jody Scheckter. So F1 champ, South African. His car is, his race winning, his F1 winning car is actually on auction right now.
Oh, right.
So, I mean, there it is right there. It's a Ferrari. As a Ferrari fan, I'm sure you like,
definitely,
you know, I want to buy it. So if you have millions and millions and millions and millions and millions, you know, this could be absolutely yours right now.
That's definitely going to fetch quite a sum.
Yep.
I believe that was one of the last cars, like Formula One cars, that Enzo Ferrari himself oversaw.
Exactly that, yeah. That's true.
And so that's going to fetch quite a bit because you've got the Jody Scheckter. I believe he also won a championship
in
that.
Yeah. In the vehicle, yeah.
So, yeah. So you've got a, that's that provenance that I was talking
about. Yeah.
You've got Enzo Ferrari, last car that he oversaw. You've got a championship winning car, Jody Scheckter.
And there's like two ever made. So, you know.
There you go. And if it's 100% original, nobody touched it type of thing, like,
Ten fish millions.
This is going to be like 60, 70 million rand type of deals minimum.
So expect the price right now is ranging at 5.25 to 6.5 million euros.
I guess so it's closer to the hundreds.
Yeah. It's going to fetch a lot. And I'm sure somebody, whoever buys it, is going to really appreciate it as sort of a centerpiece in their collection. Moving on, Reino. So, as mentioned, we had Lawrence here a few weeks ago to talk about the GWM 300 tank, I think it was.
Yes.
So I thought that maybe because you were at the launch of GWM's new models and stuff, to just kind of unpack what this new structure is in terms of the brands. I think it's Aura, Haval, et cetera, et cetera. So, I
was at the brand convention, actually, where they sort of explained because GWM, that's how they're positioning GWM is almost like a holding group, like an overall brand. It's like the Volkswagen Automotive Group.
Yes.
But there's all of these sub-brands. So now you're going to have like a Vol, which is just the SUVs.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're going to have GWM Tank, which is going to be sort of more premium product SUVs. Then you've got the P-Series, which is, it's going to be branded a P-Series something, like a P-Series Canon or a P-Series P5. You know,
so P-Series is going to
sort of
essentially
a
be like a brand. Yeah,
so,
okay.
Yeah, it's going to be almost become its own little brand.
Yeah.
So that is going to obviously service you on Bucky's. And then you've got
the Aura,
which is their fully electric signed. And then they've got another brand on that side, which they're not bringing in because they're only producing that for left-hand drive markets.
Okay.
But they said if, and it's their most premium stuff. So if they see a prospect like our market could want in, they will consider, but they're still not bringing that in.
In terms of dealerships and if people want to like buy one, you know, one of the vehicles from each of the brands, like where do they go now? Do they go to specifically a P-Series dealership or like is it going to be like all-inclusive?
So what I think they'll do is like you'll have a dealership, like a Haval dealership, for instance, but you'll have a
like support
sort of corner
at
that's just P-Series or just Tank, you know. So there's going to be like within these dealers sort of segments. So I think you can pretty much almost walk in at any
sort of
GWM product dealer and they can assist you, whether it's servicing or purchasing a new product.
Did they launch any new models for South Africa?
Quite a few.
Okay.
Quite a few.
Which ones stand out for you? Obviously, we have a few popular ones. Jolyon.
So, yeah. I was about to say we're getting a brand new Jolyon. And if you consider how popular the Jolyon was in South Africa, the first gen.
Yep.
That's going to, it's going to move,
quickly. Metal, yeah.
It's very pretty, very well specified. There's going to be three variants, including one hybrid model as well. So they quite well, like big screens in the middle, everything. So they Chinese are really picking up their game and like showcasing to their competitors, like we can bring some competition. So yeah, there's Jolyon and Jolyon Pro. Then they've announced like a Haval H7 that's going to come. Obviously, just numbers wise, it's going to slot in atop the H6.
Of course. That's how it goes.
But it's actually, it almost look very military, the design.
Yeah.
But it's sort of following that same theme as the Tag 300.
Okay.
It's like almost old school looking.
Yeah, like retro.
Looking. And I think if the Tank is going to be popular, then that's also going to be popular.
So my biggest problem with the Tank and something that Lawrence sort of spoke about was the price.
Yeah.
So when Haval came in and when the P series came in, for instance, the big selling point in South Africa specifically was the fact that you got all of this, you know, all these extras for a really, really, really affordable price.
Yeah.
Where, you know, you couldn't be denied in terms of value.
Yes.
It seems like now, and this could just be, this is just my analysis.
Yeah.
It seems like now they've kind of entered the markets. They've gotten everybody's hearts or whatever.
Yeah.
And now they're like, okay, now we, you know, we can start becoming a little bit more, from a price perspective, like more competitive. Is that not going to be a problem in terms of them penetrating in South Africa?
I don't think so. And the reason I say I don't think so is even with that slight sort of ramp up in pricing, let's take two products, similar products, one from them and one from a competitor, if that's from Japan or wherever else, and really go and do box for box comparison.
Some comparisons, yeah.
And then you can ask me again if that's going to be a problem.
Okay.
So, yes, they came in really cheap just to get people on board.
Yeah.
Now they're ramping up the pricing, but it's not like they're holding back on spec. So,
You're getting a lot more for what you're paying for.
That's the thing. It's still a very good value for money proposition.
Yeah.
And I think that's what South Africans are buying with now is their pockets.
Exactly that, yeah.
And not so much loyalty anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. I think brand loyalty is definitely, it's gone down. Let's be honest. And a large like proponent of that is the fact that things are getting a little bit tougher. And election's coming up now. So I think it's just, I think there's a lot of factors there. But predictions, do you think any of these new models are going to, obviously the Jolyon's probably going to do extremely well.
Jolyon's going to do well. I think H7 not as much because it's going to be a much more premium product.
Yeah.
So it's not going to sell as many volumes. But I think for what they've planned, it's probably going to hit targets. Then they've got a new P500 P-Series Bucky that's going to come in. Now, South Africans traditionally are very fickle. There's two Buckys that they just love.
They just run the mortgage,
And then there's some people that like to purchase and experience other Buckys as well, which you should be doing.
Yeah.
But you should be doing that. This one is coming in. It's actually quite big, like dimensions-wise.
Okay.
It's very, very big. It's very luxurious in sign.
Yeah.
Very well specified. Like tech-wise, there's very few Buckys on the market that can compete. And I think this is GWM almost making a very clear... It's a statement to Toyota and Ford saying...
Are we here?
We're here, boys.
Yeah, like...
And we're going to come and play with you now.
I mean, the new Ranger, though.
I saw the new
Hilux is coming out soon. I saw some images of it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's going to... The Ranger was gone. I thought, like, this new sort of iteration is like...
I'm not predicting they're going to take over.
Yeah.
But I'm predicting they're going to take some market share.
Biggest thing I want to talk about is the fact that when the first P-Series came in South Africa, it basically was a one-size-fits-all.
Yeah.
If you needed, like, you know, to haul, like, if you needed to tow, if you needed, like, a workhorse, or if you needed just, you know, for your family or whatever, and you just lent to Buckies.
Yes.
It kind of fits all the bill. But you're saying, like, this new one might be a little bit more premium than the previous one.
100% more premium. Like, it's, you're in a luxury car when you're on the inside. But it's still going to be utilitarian, still going to be able to go off-road.
Will there be like a variant though that's like...
I think in the future they might bring in. Obviously like at these sort of conventions and shows, they'll want to put their best foot forward.
Of course, yeah.
I'm sure there is going to be more utilitarian, less specified versions that's going to come in.
Yeah.
They haven't confirmed any of that just yet.
You spoke about the tailgates on this new P-Series. Like what's the...
Which is one of the coolest features.
Is it not a gimmick?
I don't think it is. Okay. Well, maybe. Like, a little bit.
Like, but I just want to understand the usefulness, because when you told me, I was like...
Okay, so how it works, just to explain to people. So the tailgate can open in two ways.
Yeah.
But it's one still one solid tailgate.
Okay.
So it can either open up like barn doors, like literally two doors that opens up, or the traditional tailgate folds flat.
Yeah.
But both can happen at the same time. You don't have to choose or specify one.
Why would you want the barn? It's like theatrics.
I think it's a little bit like theatrics. Okay. It's a little bit gimmicky.
So something, you know, have something different.
Basically. But I think if you are, let's say you do have a tonneau cover or you've got a canopy on and you literally just need to swipe in one little box on the side or whatever,
you can just
open.
Side.
Yeah, you can just open a one little side, slide something in.
Yeah.
I think there is a little bit of gimmicky type of thing. But I'm sure there's people going to make some use cases.
Yeah, there's going to be some interesting use cases.
I think they like give it some time and YouTube and TikTok is going to show you there's some use cases for it.
100%. Thanks very much, Reyno. Last segment before I leave you. So we have a new segment called Cars Made Easy.
Yeah.
And I thought maybe we'll kick off with something that I'm asked about a lot, which is torque versus horsepower. Like, what is the difference between those two things? Like, in short, simplest way possible.
So just to horsepower is speed.
Okay.
Torque is pulling capacity.
Not this type of horse.
Not this type of horse. Yeah. How many horses are there? How many? So basically a horsepower is basically how fast you're going to go.
Okay.
So that's why Bugattis have got like 1,600 horsepower and you know that type of thing. They're chasing top speed.
Okay.
So... you need power to push through the wind, basically. Okay. Torque is, can I pull something, if you know what I mean?
So torque is more like acceleration and horsepower is more like top end speed.
100%. So torque, acceleration, horsepower, top end, keep pushing through the wind as much as you can. In South Africa, though, we don't necessarily refer to horsepower. We generally talk kilowatts and torque.
Okay.
And that's why it's much easier to understand, like kilowatts top speed, torque, can I tow a caravan?
Understood, yeah.
Also, like, so as somebody that's going to want to buy a bucky, for instance, if you are looking to tow caravans or boats or whatever, you're going to focus more on the torque than the power figure.
100%.
Whereas somebody that wants a RS3 to beat the GTI or whatever... they're going to look at kilowatts, not so much the torques. Although the torques do help with the acceleration off the line.
Yeah.
But interestingly enough, that's where electric cars come in.
Yeah.
Because they've got a ton of torque and that's why they're so quick off the line.
Mm.
If they can stick it like with the tires, you haven't felt acceleration until
I've been launched in the e-tron RSGT.
Yes.
And I've never felt anything more violent and vicious in my entire life. It was the strangest sensation I've ever had in a vehicle. It didn't feel like a car.
No.
It felt like
it's a
brand new experience. It was mind-blowing. It changed my perception of EV. So, you know, I can definitely leave
out for that. But that's not the thing. It's like if you look also at the power figures and the like kilowatts and torque as well as horsepower and torque of EVs. They don't have that top end. So they don't have kilowatts or horsepower, but they've got a ton of torque.
Mm.
And it's instantaneous because it's like an on-off switch.
Yeah.
So, well, unless we talk Rimac.
Yeah, of course.
Building super fast electric cars.
Yeah, they're going a bit berserk, yeah.
Yeah, so at least like there's a few cases out there.
Yeah.
But I think, for people out there, if you're looking to buy something that's fast, focus on the kilowatts or the horsepower. If you're looking something that sprints very quickly off the line, robot to robot or on a track day or whatever, then you're going to look at torque and horsepower.
Okay.
If you're just looking to tow stuff, if you're looking to carry around heavy loads, focus on torque.
Okay, understood. That is the simplest way I think you could ever make it. Then lastly, so obviously we speak about, like, when it comes to pricing, when you're buying and selling a car, when we talk to pricing, there's different sort of values that are always mentioned. So the big three that are always mentioned is retail price, market price, and trade price.
Yeah.
So retail price, to my understanding, is the price that you pay for when you're just going to buy the car, right? That's the kind of the sticker.
It's literally what you see on a windscreen type of vibe. Yeah.
So it's, and I think a lot of people forget that when they're selling the car, that you're not going to be getting the retail price in terms of, because that's more like for new cars, I'm assuming.
100% retail. Mm. But look, people talk about retail price as in the new car.
Okay.
So if you're looking at a used car and somebody's referring to retail, they're talking about the new price, the vehicle's new car price.
So what's the difference between that and a trade price?
Well, trade price is going to be a sort of book value that people are going to attach to your vehicle. Mm-hmm. So they're going to look at depreciation of the model as in the market demand for the car, all of that comes into play. But also they're going to look at the condition of the car because they need to fix some things perhaps on it before they make you an offer. And that price or the money that they're trading you is going to go on to the new car or paying off that old car, basically. Mm-hmm.
And when people speak to the market price, is that just like kind of in between? We don't really know what the exact trade price is.
So
it's like market dependent.
Market price is where trade price sort of falls away in a way, because if the market demand for a car is higher, then the market price is going to go up. So I can go to a, let's say now that Audi R8, everybody realized, okay, this is the last chance. Mm. So you can go to Audi, order the last one, even though you can't, the last one was just built the other day. But theoretically, you go to Audi, you buy one for $1 million, for instance. But now everybody wants one. So if I sell mine, but I put it in the market for 1.2, then and somebody buys it, then that's the market.
The market price. Okay, understood. I hope that's like made things simpler. And that's pretty much all we have for. But before I leave you, obviously, we just had a race where Max didn't win. What are your thoughts? What are your thoughts on like Ferrari's performance as a Ferrari fan?
Yeah. So obviously as a Ferrari fan, you can't get any better. Just do like 1 and 2 on podium, all of that. It was a couple of tense moments, obviously, because of like Lando catching up to Leclerc towards the end. Look, I'm not somebody that any time wishes bad onto anybody, but it did feel a little bit good to see somebody else on the podium.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've got all the respect for Max, but, you know, sometimes...
Do you think if Max's car didn't DNF, basically, do you think he still would have won? Do you think the Ferraris were just on the day?
I think Max would have still won. I think Carlos would have still made podium.
Yeah, because Perez came fifth, eh? So,
yeah.
I mean, it's kind of, was that Red Bull just not as dominant?
I think they weren't, if you look at even from the practice sessions, they weren't as dominant at Melbourne. And I think there would have been a tighter battle at the front. Sainz and Max would have like shared punches all the time. But I do think Max would have still probably hooked it at the very end.
For sure. I mean, he's a machine.
Yeah, he's just at his like prime now.
Last question before.
No problem.
Sainz, obviously, he's now leaving for Lewis. Do you think Ferrari made a mistake there? I've always said that Charles is just not.
I think they are
They're like, oh, damn.
They like, did we?
Yeah,
did we
make the right decision? Yeah.
Look, it's still very easy early in the season. So it's like third race now. So there's still a lot to happen throughout the year. But I do think that there's a couple of big weeks at Ferrari sitting there like,
We may have backed the wrong horse here.
We might have backed the wrong horse. Yeah. And I think there's somebody at Red Bull and people at Mercedes sitting there and going,
Thank Evans.
Like maybe you should come and talk to us about.
He's definitely going to have a drive next year.
If he keeps on this, let's be honest. Yeah. He's also driving like he doesn't have a seat. So
but
he's,
this has been going
having,
for years, though. Science has been. I've always cried about how I prefer him over Charles, right? Yes. Just because of his consistency. I think on one lap, Charles can hold his own at the very top and the highest level. But during a race, his race craft is just not as great as Carlos's. Looking at the last 2 years.
Yeah.
I think they may have backed the wrong horse. Yeah. I think it should be Science and Hamilton. And Charles, I think at Red Bull would have been something interesting. But let's see what happens, man. I think the season's still very...
It's still early. Let's see.
Yeah, 100%. Anyways, if you want to check out the article that Reyna wrote on the GWM, it's also on site. So please check that out. We'll obviously just leave the link in the description. And if you like the show, please engage with us. Tell us what you guys think. Smash the like button. And I guess we'll see you guys next week.
Thanks for that.
Search Auto Trader.